What's up, Stu?
What's up, Kevin?
Today we are talking about how to have a really good conversation with someone.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that we oftentimes overlook, but it's such an important skill because if you can't converse with a person, you can't open the keys to a conversation and have a meaningful sort of dialogue with someone. You know, you kind of just go through life on autopilot. And today we're really going to delve into what that looks like, some things that you can do to avoid bad conversations, and how to basically navigate to ask great questions to open up a conversation.
Absolutely. Before we dive into all that, what is a good conversation? What does that mean? What does it mean to have a good conversation? What dictates it? I think for me personally, it's going to be subjective to everybody, right? Depending on what that person likes to talk about, whatever it is that they're interested in. And I think that is the backbone and the construct of a good conversation, right? That person has to be genuinely interested in the subject of that conversation. And I think if you miss that point entirely and you only talk about things that you're interested in and you don't find a common ground for it, then it's going to be a bad conversation. Like you can't just have a conversation too where it's like you're only talking about the person, like what the other person likes, because then you're not really that engaged. Like you kind of find a middle ground and you figure out a way to relate to kind of spark that. At least that's what I think. What do you think, Stu?
Yeah, I think it also has to do with being deeply engaged. You know, where two people are really, really passionate about the topic that they're discussing. And there's undivided attention between two people. And whether or not the individuals or group agrees or disagrees with the topic, we can agree to disagree about things, but that doesn't necessarily make a conversation bad, you know, just because two people have different points of view. If anything, I think a conversation where two people are not at odds with each other, but have different viewpoints really sparks the good conversations, because that's really when you're in debate, when you're in deep thinking, you know, that's when you have a real conversation. You don't just have a surface level conversation where it's like an echo chamber. Like I say this and you agree with me, and then you say that and I agree with you back and forth all day long. Yeah. There's not really much content or value to that. But I think if I were to talk to you, Kevin, and then we have a different ideology on, let's say, how a diet should work, how an exercise should work, right? And all of a sudden we go really hard into why we think, you know, we have a point to make, but we're respectful of each other. All of a sudden that conversation adds a lot more value, because then someone who's listening in on it gets to see two standpoints, and they have to decide for themselves the parts they want to take from the conversation and the parts that they think maybe I have a different opinion about that.
Yeah, and I very much agree with that. And like to kind of take it a step back from that too, it's like to do that, another really important thing about having a good conversation is being open-minded.
Yes.
And being open-minded to different ideas, you know, different experiences, different backgrounds from different people, and kind of approaching it from a place of empathy, of compassion, of being willing to hear a person out for whatever it is that they believe, right? You don't have to necessarily agree with it. You can hear them out, try to understand from their perspective. And I think that's also a way that, you know, you could get value from that, right? And I think...
How often do you feel someone sharing a point and the other person is already thinking about cutting them off, or is already dozing off thinking about how are they going to respond?
Oh, 100%. I fall into that pitfall all the time.
I'm guilty of it too. I think we all are.
We all are, but I think the best conversations to be had are the ones where it's like you're not really, you don't have like an agenda.
You're not trying to interject. Yeah.
You're not trying to interject. You're not trying to like push your agenda on the conversation. I mean, those are different kinds of conversations. I think when you're in a negotiation, that's like a whole different topic, right?
But we're talking about an organic,
open-hearted conversation.
Neutral conversation.
A neutral conversation. Yeah. But yeah, so I think another thing too that you brought up was questions.
And questions.
I think that questions are such a great starter for conversations and being, I mean, what kind of dictates like a good opener question? Do you have any like opener questions that you feel like?
I do. Like it's a very basic question, and I don't even think it's as important as the wording so much as the tonality. So I think the question is important. The tonality of how you deliver the question is also important. I'll give you an example. You see a person that you want to talk to, and you start off with, how are you doing? It's not very appealing. You know, it's very monotone. Your facial expression is very negative. But if you approach it like, hey, like, how are you doing? Like, actually, how are you actually doing? You know, I'm curious. Almost like you have a curiosity tonality in it. Then it really like kind of invites the person into conversation, because it's not about me. You know, no one wants to talk to a person that starts off their convo with me, like, think like, can you believe what happened to me today? You know, the other person really wants to know that you're engaged in them. And once you're engaged in them, they'll be engaged in you. So I think that's a great generic question to start with. Like, how are you doing today? You know, like, how are you really doing?
Mm-hmm.
Because what most people will do on a surface level will be like, I'm doing fine, you know, but you know deep down, like, you're not fine, or like, you're not as fine as you say you are.
Yeah.
There's definitely something underneath that must be bothering. I think for 99% of people, 99% of the time, there's always something bothering you.
Yeah.
And I think being comfortable with asking how you're doing, and the other person being open about really telling them how they really feel,
mm-hmm.
that's when you get a really good combo, like, you know?
Yeah. You bring up, I think, two really good points is tonality and obviously the context of the question that you're asking. Yes. I think another thing too is body language and your facial expression.
Yes.
Right? I think all of those things do need to line up. And I think if you're not having a great day, but you do want to have a conversation or you want to change the context of your conversation, I think the easiest way to change that is focusing on your body language, right? Like, right. If you're like slumped over like this,
and you're squinting your forehead, you know, you're frowning, or your eyes are just not, you're not making direct eye contact with someone. Those are all no-nos.
Yeah. Then you already set a different kind of tone for that conversation. And I think a lot of them are subconscious. I don't think you necessarily need to be like, oh, like, let me put my chest up and things like that. But it's like, hey, just be aware. Like, if you're not in a good mood, you can utilize those tools to maybe improve or enhance your mood.
Exactly.
Which then will translate to your tonality and the context of your conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think a great way is either practicing in front of a mirror or kind of just recording yourself like we are right now. Because
mm-hmm.
I think before we recorded, I didn't even realize, wow, Stuart, you have a really, really intense resting bitch face. You know, the RBF. So for those that don't know what an RBF is, it's basically just your default face, but it's a face that looks a little bit stern, a little bit stoic, perhaps almost even a little bit intimidating to someone who may wanted to have a conversation with you. I can't tell you how many times I've had coworkers or families.
Oh, that's me all the time.
They're just like, why do you look like you got a stick up your ass half the time? And I was like, really? I was like, I'm not trying to convey that, but it's like, wow, I really got to, like, whatever I think smiling looks like, I got to up it by like 5,000% to even look like what a naturally born, like, charismatic smiler looks like. But that's the kind of adjustments that we're talking about. Small things that you can't notice that other people can, that you should take as feedback.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very fine line between caring about what other people think, but taking other people's feedback so that you can improve yourself. There's a fine line. So that's kind of take some feedback from technology, take some feedback from your peers, and just take some feedback from a mirror, and you'll really be able to kind of hone your style of talking and improve your body language.
Yeah. So I think those are all great tactics, but I think the ultimate tactic in a good conversation is intently listening.
Yes.
Like, a good conversation doesn't mean you're doing all the talking. It doesn't have to mean that. I mean, you will have to talk if you want to have a conversation, but I think almost a very critical part of a good conversation is just listening.
Less is more.
Less is more. And, you know, coming back to the question you brought up, right? You said, like, how are you doing? Right? I think a lot of people would just, they'll just say good. right? That's a very automatic response.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, something that you could do is like kind of just nod your head and like wait for them to say more.
Or, you can even guide it and say, tell me more about it.
Yeah. And I think those are, you know, little tactics that you could use. But I think, you know, if all else fails, just listening intently to hear what that person has to say.
Mm-hmm.
And then figuring out like where you want to take it from there after listening. And I think that that's definitely, you know, if you forget all the tactics and you take one tactic away from this video or this podcast, if you're listening, is just to listen intently.
Yeah.
And listen like you care, because you do, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm going to add one more layer to what you're saying about mm-hmm. listening intently. I think a lot of times we all fall into the trap of listening to respond and not just listening to absorb. And what I mean by that is, if you're listening just to respond, you're already thinking about, okay, what am I going to say as a rebuttal or a response to whatever the person's telling me? And I've already forgotten about the latter 90% of what the message they're trying to convey to me,
mm-hmm.
you know, versus let them finish the thought, which is not to interject, but let them finish the thought so that you can actually process everything. And then really, when you fully understand what the person is telling you, then you try to respond. You know, there's no need to rush that gap and have a moment of silence, I think, in a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one other thing too is, I forgot who told me the same, but it was some uncle in my family. They were kind of joking about the human anatomy. One of my uncles would just say, like, why is it, Stuart, that we as humans are born with two ears and only one mouth, right? It means we should instinctively do twice the amount of listening and half the amount of talking. That's why we're born with two ears and one mouth. Whether that's true or not, I just thought it's a really interesting twist and way to look at it. And I think it kind of holds true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the more you listen, the more it speaks volumes to people.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree with that. I think on top of, you know, all the things that we're talking about too, like having a good conversation needs to be interesting, right? Like the topics and the things you're talking about need to be interesting. And sometimes you'll be hanging out with friends and like, man, I don't know, what else is there to talk about? And in order to have it, I think I heard this quote, in order to be interesting, you have to be interested.
Yes.
Right? And instead of focusing on trying to be interesting, you know, like, or finding an interesting conversation, be interesting yourself first, right? So it's like, you know, add value to a conversation, right? If you have some sort of value to add to it, I think that always makes, you know, a good conversation as well. But also being interested in the value that, you know, whatever other person has to say, mm-hmm. right? Like whatever that person has to say too, be interested in that.
And put a twist to a conversation. Because if you're really listening to the other person's conversation,
mm-hmm.
there's information you can take and ask a deeper question in response.
Because
mm-hmm. if you weren't really doing the first part of listening, you can't come up with the great questions to activate the conversation, to take it to another level.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well,
so what are some, I guess, some of the things that I think people that are watching, like some small things that they can practice to help get them to become a better conversationalist?
Other things than kind of the things that we talked about?
Yeah, well, like just practice. Like, what's a great way to practice? Repetitions.
I think trying to break your habits of how you're currently talking if you feel like you're unsatisfied with mm-hmm. the conversations that you're having. And I think it starts with even the people that you're really close with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, say it's your mom, your brother, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, whoever. I think it's those conversations that oftentimes are more redundant than
overlooked.
Overlooked, right? Because it's like you'll end up talking to a friend you haven't seen for a long time, and that conversation ends up being really, really good because you haven't seen them for a long time. Then when you see, let's say, your girlfriend or your boyfriend or your mom, who you maybe talk to very, very often, right? You end up, you know, overlooking those conversations. And I think a great practicing ground is with those people that you talk to with every day and finding a way to make those conversations interesting, figuring out different things about that person that you may have never knew about. I think recently I was eating at like a Korean tofu pot place with my mom and dad. Mm-hmm. And typically when I eat with my parents, it's like, we don't really talk that much, right? I think it's a little bit more Asian culture where it's like, like, oh, you're just eating, like you're not really, you know, talking and things like that. Unless it's like a party or something like that, but it's just very like, oh, just eat,
it's
you know.
It's a matter of fact. It's like, we're having dinner.
Yeah, you know? And I was like, you know what? Like, we have dinners like this all the time. And I feel like I want to have a conversation with you guys.
Right.
And
like a real one. Not just like, oh, how's your day? Like, well, it's fine.
Yeah. And I was like, you know, like, I don't know much about my parents' childhood. Like, childhood as in, like, when they were, like, 5 to 12. Or, like, you know, middle school years. And, like, what they were like. Yeah. What their siblings were like, you know, what did they do every day? Like,
were they, you know, troublesome or whatnot or things like that?
Yeah. Or like memories of how they were raised and like just trying to understand what that was like for them. And we ended up having like a 2.5-3 hour conversation until the restaurant closed about their childhood. And I never knew that about them. I've known
crazy.
Them for however old
Your
I was.
Whole life. Yeah.
We just never talked about it, right? Like, it's always, it was just never something I thought to bring up until I was just like, oh, like, what's something I don't know about my parents, right? And then just that single question just sparked into a very long conversation about their lives. And it gave me a lot of context, too, about, like, who they were and, like, how they are now and how they kind of treat me. And it gives me a lot of context of who they are as a person.
I bet. Like, did you see them in a new light? Was it like almost transformative when you found out more about their roots?
I think it wasn't like transformative where it's like, oh wow, like I figured out so much because I've known them for so long.
Right.
But it was like, it's cool to have this context now.
There's another layer.
Another layer, you
okay.
know? And I so see. I think that's a really good way to practice. Like, hey, like what do I not know about this person yet that I can ask them about that, you know, who knows? It could either be you fall flat on your face and it's not that interesting, or it becomes like a 2-3 hour conversation.
I think that's it. That's a great practicing piece. So talk to someone that you know deeply, but try to get the conversation to a level or to a point where you discover something new about someone that you already know closely. I think that's a great way to really put open up yourself and open up the other person, you know.
100%.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you have it.
If you guys like this episode, you know, we'd greatly appreciate if you subscribe for more content. We want to make content for you guys so that you can find value in the conversations we have.
Yeah.
And also smash that like button.
Smash that like button. And if you're listening as a podcast listener, we'd also really appreciate if you leave a review for us. It helps us grow and help other people like yourself find our channel. And until next time, guys.
Thank you, guys.